B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, emotions are getting the best of Valdez because he knows he's made some mistakes, and he didn't make any mistakes in his last game. And so in the World Series, of course, you know you don't have that much room for error. And so pitching coach is going to try to pump him up to get some confidence in him.
Yeah, either pump him up or calm him down.
Duvall takes down ball one. I haven't seen many changeups. There was some change up there. When you have touch, you have the feel that you can throw your curveball or changeup at any time, especially against an aggressive-style Braves team. They can hit for power, but they'll strike out a lot more than the Houston Astros typically will. Valdez just trying to fight to stay in the game. This one is a rocket into left and gone. 5-0 Atlanta here in the third inning. And that'll be it for Framber Valdez.
Freaking Framber Valdez. This guy's a fraud. This guy is a freaking hack.
Feels that way.
So what he saying?
Shut the Red Sox down, though.
But he's saying after the game, like, "Oh, I was nervous and I was having some control issues. That's why I was missing high." Like, no, you couldn't cheat.
Yeah, you hear Smoltz there when you don't have the feel, when you don't have the touch. Yeah. Smoltz is onto it, but he can't say it because he's representing Major League Baseball on the national broadcast, and it's the World Series. He's not going to call guys out. You know, he knows where his bread is buttered, but he's alluding to it there about the touch and the feel. Boy, isn't that funny? And he's not going to his temple last night. He's not going to his forehead or the side of his face like he was here in Boston. So why is that? Why is that? He comes up here, freaking guy. Just his arc. I'm sorry. Dial it back to game one of the ALCS. Craps himself. Crap sandwich. Can't get out of the third inning against the Red Sox. 2 2/3, 6 hits, 3 walks, 3 runs. All right. Then he's up here, game five, got to have it kind of game. All of a sudden, ball's heavy, sinking, and he shoves. He shoves on you. 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 1 earned run. All of a sudden, he's Nolan freaking Ryan. And then last night, craps himself. How does that happen? How does he go from down here to up here to down there? It's the same guy.
That's baseball, Mike.
No, you know what it is? It's freaking goo. It's sticky stuff. And what's, I think, happening here is he starts a series and Houston starts a series and they say, well, we'll just play it straight to start this thing. Because who knows what they're going to call us on, who's going to check what the umps are going to check. Let's just see how this plays out. And if we can win straight up, we'll win straight up. Why risk, you know, a guy coming out of a game because he's got a foreign substance? So we'll just play this straight up, see what happens. And these guys crap themselves because they suck. Because Framber Valdez sucks. He's a hack. But then when you got to have it, game five up here in Boston, okay. It's time to load it up. They're not checking. They're only checking the glove and the hat and the belt. And Alex isn't going to say anything. It's obvious. Now we're deep into the series. Alex isn't saying anything. So go ahead. 8 innings, 3 hitter, eight full innings. Who goes 8 innings nowadays?
Nobody.
Not this stiff.
Just real quick, too.
And then again, last night's to begin a series. Well, let's see how it plays out. We'll see what the Braves are calling or the umps are doing. Or, you know, if you can just go out and do it naturally. And what does he do? All of a sudden, touch, feel, first swing of the games in the seats. What a fraud. That whole team stinks.
You mentioned the umps only check the belt and the hat, right? I wonder how much that Max Scherzer meltdown when they started checking for all this in the summer had something to do with this. That after that, Major League Baseball collectively said, we can't have this. When Scherzer flipped out, he's like, yo, you want to pull down my pants too? Like, yeah. What do you want me to do?
I think they don't want to catch these guys. The last thing Manfred wants is you're cheating in the World Series, so we're not going to catch you. We're going to show everybody, okay? So we'll make this big show when you walk off the mound, hand us your hat and your glove, and we'll check the inside of your belt occasionally. But we're not going to check anything else. So this Garcia, what's his first name?
Luis
Garcia has got a freaking, you know, he's dripping oil off the back of his ponytail the other night, and he's going to it. Every time he gets a new ball, but they're not going to check that. But hand me your hat and your glove. And so it's like this cursory for show sort of thing. And I just, Yeah, I know they're doing it. I know everyone's doing it, but I just think that there's something so freaking dirty about the Astros to me. And just seeing these guys, you know, I went back and looked, Framber Valdez. When they did the crackdown in June 21 was the date that they officially started checking, but I know it went back before that. But, you know, just draw the line at June 21. In the five games before the substance crackdown, Valdez had a 1.67 ERA. In the three games right after, he had a 5. Valdez's BABIP, Milliken, if you're listening.
Very important.
Is BABIP, batting average of balls in play? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Valdez's BABIP was 230 before the crackdown, 373 in the three games after the crackdown.
Contact got better.
What was somewhat troubling was his drop in spin rates, but even his breaking balls, too. Since June 21st, Valdez lost about 200 RPM on the breaking ball and about 100 on the fastball since 20. So it's like, this is one of these guys. And, oh, by the way, his pitching coach, what's the name again?
Brent Strom.
Was one of the guys that Trevor Bauer had a, in high school, whatever, melt down glue and get sticky stuff. And this is like one of the original sticky stuff chemists.
Boil down Coca-Cola.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Boiled down Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah. Makes a syrup. Yeah.
You can watch how to do it on YouTube.
And that's the Astros pitching coach.
Correct. Enrico Fermi, the physicist.
So it's like, you know, and I'm not coming at this from a Red Sox perspective. I'm not crying for the Red Sox because of Alex Cora's history. And who knows? Chris Sale had a nice little jump between his first and second start in that series, too. But so I know you're doing something, too. It's just the Astros, I think, like the Patriots, do it more, better, and push it more than anyone else and are more reliant on it than anyone else. And it's just, I just think they stink. That's all.
I mean, what else? What other conclusion could you possibly come to? Like, to me, there's absolutely something going on there with what the Astros are doing.
Oh, and by the way, I left out the best part. Up here, Framber Valdez is all over his temple and his forehead and touching his face every time he gets a new ball. Last night, he had his sleeve over his hand, and he wasn't going to his face like he was here in Boston. Like, almost someone said, Framber, you got to
dial that back.
Dial it back. Yeah. They're on to you. There's videos out there. And it's game one of the series. Let's wait to see how this plays out before we start doing this. If we can win it straight up, we'll win it straight up, but we don't need it yet. So all of a sudden, his whole routine and all the ticks on the mound are different. It's like, oh, please. Sorry, Maz. Go ahead.
No. So I looked. There has to be something going on there. And again, I was just punching up Luis Garcia as you were going over the stats on Framber Valdez about before and after, you know, the crackdown on the glue. And his ERA on June 24th was 283. He finished at 3.5. Now, he didn't suck like as bad as the other guy did, but his ERA still went up, you know, almost a full run after that. Like, the whole thing changed.
Luis
so there's
Garcia.
Something shady. Yeah, there is something shady going on there. I don't know how you could feel otherwise.
So that's my thought on last night. We have the Wizards, as Murray would say, coming into town tonight, and Bradley Beal with the Wizards and the Celtics. And that was just a jumping off point to ask Celtics fans, do you want Bradley? That was the hot name. I guess that still is. Like, that's the latest white whale that we say, you know, like that target, that third piece target. And we all know that Tatum and his history together, and that felt like that was the guy in the offseason. And when they re-signed Marcus Smart and Rob Williams, the spin was, well, it's going to be easier to get him by a trade than free agency. Like, okay, I guess, I don't know. But now, and it's a short sample, but it doesn't take much for the Celtics fans. do you want, if it meant giving up Marcus Smart and particularly Rob Williams, would you want Bradley Beal? Do you still think you need a third piece on this team? Do you need a third guy with Brown and Tatum? If Brown and Tatum reach their ceiling and become what they're supposed to become and what we think they can become, do you even need a third guy? And again, I'll ask you that, Maz. Do they even need a third guy?
Yes, they need a third guy. Bradley Beal wouldn't necessarily be my first choice because I don't think his game complements Tatum and Brown as much as someone else. And again, I couldn't give you a specific someone else. But we played a cut earlier in the day, Bill Simmons and Kevin O'Connor from, you know, almost a year ago. Or was it several?
No, it was this summer.
It was this summer. So I was thinking August 2020 for some reason. But anyway, the comment from Bill Simmons was, you know, if you add Bradley Beal to this operation, you basically got three guys who want the ball and want to shoot all the time. And I think he's right. I don't love the mix. So, look, if I can get no one else, would I take him? Yeah, of course. But I'd rather have someone who compliments Brown and Tatum, so, and Bradley Beal doesn't compliment them enough.
Not a high-end scorer.
Correct.
So that's almost sort of saying, like, not a third piece.
Right, except that, well, you know, so I mean, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I don't disagree with that assessment.
I'm sort of in this camp now that if these guys reach their ceiling, and it's going to take a little bit, you know, we've got a little bit to go before they hit that NBA ripening championship age of 7 years in the league, something like that. We're just outside of it. I don't think they need a third piece. I mean, I don't know. It's LeBron and Anthony Davis, and they built a team around those guys. And in Milwaukee, it's really Giannis and Middleton, and I don't consider Drew Holiday. I'm sorry. He's not a star third piece. He's just a glorified Marcus Smart. And if the Clippers have championship aspirations, they've built around Kawhi and Paul George, and, like, it should be good enough. Shouldn't it?
Yeah, if those two reach their ceilings, yeah. But I just think that there's still inconsistencies, and they've been in the league long enough now. And, yeah, there's still some room to grow, but I don't know. I think you still could use another piece. But Beal, like, I think people love Beal because he's fun to watch and because he's Tatum's buddy. We got to keep Tatum happy. I don't know if there's enough to go around with those three.
So when you say piece, though, like, piece implies something to complement those two, not a third guy. And I'm sort of... of that, I don't think they need a third guy. They
like
shouldn't.
A Ben Simmons type, but not Ben Simmons.
If
which would be Lonzo Ball, who I think Luke in Vermont mentioned.
Yeah.
Who, remember, they had interested, and then free agency started, and boom, he was gone to Chicago just like that.
I'm just saying, as I said earlier, Tatum is bona fide top 10 NBA player. If he's not now, he will be at any given year, and he's that kind of talent. Jaylen Brown is not far behind. You know, top 10-ish, 12, 15, I don't know. At his ceiling, not there yet, but at his ceiling. Like, that should be enough. That should be if you surround him with the right people. And maybe they've come to that conclusion themselves, which is why they re-signed Marcus Smart and re-signed Rob Williams and didn't keep their cap flexibility to wait for Bradley Beal. They said, nope, we're all in on the two. And how do you feel about that? So there's that topic. You can weigh in on that as well. Did you have a thought, Miss?
Well, no, I was just going to say, if Brown ends up in that area, like if they both end up in the top 10, then you probably have enough. I mean, so we use the Lakers as a standard. You know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis are probably two top five players in the league. They're certainly both in the top 10. So if you can get into that area, yeah, you can take your pick on the third guy.
I mean, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. They did, you know, Draymond Green, I don't consider that true third. You know, he was the third piece, but he was a compliment, right? And he was more of a role, glorified role player. And I think that's sort of where you're at. And that, to me, is their path. So what do you think? That's the other topic. Your call's on all of it right after these words.
Felger and Mez. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger and Mass, number one. Because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are the Celtics waiting for Bradley Beal? Because that was the internet conspiracy theory on the internet today. Because the other option for their offseason was all of the power is out in the Celtics office and they're trapped inside and nobody can get a hold of anybody there. It's one of those two. So what do you think? Are they waiting for Bradley Beal? How else would you explain them sitting out basically the entire free agency?
I mean, they're waiting for something.
I have a couple thoughts on this. One, I think it's really risky to just cross your fingers and hope for Bradley Beal. We saw them get in incredible amounts of trouble with that with Anthony Davis a couple years ago. Two, I'm not positive I love Tatum, Jaylen, and Bradley Beal as my entire salary cap. Three guys who like to have the ball that don't necessarily make anyone else better. That makes me nervous.
So is that Bill Simmons cut you were talking about as it relates to... Beal and the Celtics? I think it's interesting. I don't know. I'm sort of coming around on Brown Tatum. I mean, if they're as good as we think, they think, you think, then do you need more? You really just need to surround them. That's where I think they're at. So anyway, your calls on that, the baseball from last night, our football conversation, whatever the heck you want. How about Greg and Raynham? What do you got on the Patriots?
You can, real quick, a lot of things on my thoughts. I agree that everybody is slow. This reminds me of the Patriots of the 70s. I think someone said on the show last week it was the 90s, might have been Mads. I only watched the first half of this last game, and I saw Mac Jones almost throw an interception. Yeah, we have a lot to be appreciative of. There's so much disappointment to go on right now, whether it's the Red Sox or the Patriots or the Celtics.
Okay, Greg, you're giving me too much. The ESPN did
that
a
guy's just sad.
Did, right? ESPN did a story about the slowest teams in the NFL. You rank 29th out of 32 teams in terms of team speed, is what he's referring to. I don't think. It sounds horrible. I think it does speak to a lack of talent and athleticism in some places. But frankly, I don't care about being the fastest team.
You don't need it all around, but in certain areas, I think with the way that the game's changed, like linebackers have gotten smaller and faster. I mean, look at Devin White with Tampa. I just think that Belichick looks at a guy like that and he's like, nah, too small. And that guy's a stud. Like at that position specifically, I think you need to be fast, and the Patriots are anything but.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good read on it. That you want to tell me that you don't have to be the fastest team in the league? Fine. Linebacker's a bad place to be slow now. I will say Bentley's looked better the last couple of weeks and quicker. So, you know, he had a knee injury a couple of years ago. Maybe now it's just starting to get all the way back. I don't know what the story is there, but he's playing with a little more burst, which is good.
Dan and Quincy on the Astros. Go ahead, Dan.
You know, you talk about Valdez. We had him in game one, Tony. We had him in game one. He had the same game in game one for us that he did last night. And Cora confirmed that today. They had five base runners in the first two innings in game one and didn't score. Schwarber swung at the first pitch into a double play. That killed him. As it was, they got him out of the game in the third. I don't even think he pitched three innings against the Red Sox.
He didn't. No, I mean, it's a good point. He sucked, and you still lost that game.
Right, and they were up, and the Red Sox were up 3-1. But they could have broke that game open. It could have been a different series. But and Cora, like you said, he confirmed it. But, you know, you could say, well, why didn't Cora match cheat for cheat? But Cora's hands were tied because he could never do it again. And I think Houston knew it. Yeah. I think they knew Cora could not pitch about anything.
Couldn't pitch. He couldn't call him on it for sure. You're telling me the Sox pitchers weren't doing anything? Maybe not as blatantly? You know, like, you know, I do believe there's grades of this stuff and levels of this stuff. And
I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez all of a sudden kind of looked like a stud those last couple of games he pitched.
Yeah, and sales velocity amped up just like Garcia's amped up. So I mean, a little something going. So I mean, like, I think the Red Sox are more like everybody else, a little something here or there. And I think the Astros are blatant. I think the Astros are blatant and unrepentant and sort of like shameless about the whole thing. But the piece about Alex not being able to call him on it, 100%.
Yeah, true. Look, again, the whole mound thing with Tampa Bay. When the Red Sox checked the mound in Tampa, Cora was hands off of that. He was in the clubhouse, and he told everybody that. They know they can't have him go anywhere near it, and he knows it.
I also think baseball doesn't want it. You know, baseball easily could have figured out what the hell was going on there with Garcia going to the ponytail, you know, every other pitch or whatever it was. Baseball could have done something about that, but they don't want it either. The last thing they want is another cheating thing in the World Series. So Houston's going to figure that out, you know, in short order, and let's see what these guys look like the next time up. Alan in Florida on the World Series ratings last night, which were putrid. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, before I do that quickly, you know, Cora, the king of the cheaters, I don't care what you say. You know how many times during the series he told me, Correa, I love that kid. I love that kid. I think somehow half of them love the Astros more than the Red Sox. Yeah, he couldn't do anything. You're right. His hands were tied. How about a coach? How about somebody else? How about Chaim Bloom? Why couldn't Cora go to Chaim Bloom and say, this is what they're doing? You know, it didn't have to come from Cora. So that's baloney. If they were doing anything wrong, which I believe they are, like everyone else, then something could have been done. Cora doesn't just have to sit there and lose the series like a fool. Anyway, now we're talking about the race. I was wondering, Mike, I know you're just a youngster. I mean, did in 86, you think did they have Netflix? I mean, did they have Hulu? Did they have Apple? Did they have Peacock? You know, I was just wondering. And by the way, in the World Series was so horrible, what particular
Alan,
program last night
Alan,
led the ratings?
Alan,
what led the ratings last night? What show?
Alan, why do you fight this?
I'm fighting it because I think you're completely wrong. I think you're up. Do you see all the young people that are – do you see the Astros crowd yesterday? Did you see the Red Sox crowd? Did you see all these crowds? They're all grandfathers staying up until 2 in the morning watching baseball. I mean, you guys are – we know that it has some problems, and the ratings aren't what it used to be.
Alan, Game 1 of the 1986 World Series drew 36 million viewers. Last night drew 10. Okay. So if I went to the Super Bowl numbers in 86 versus now, I bet they're probably up. Was there Netflix and all those things in 1986 up against football? Or has football just grown and baseball dipped dramatically? Like, again, I don't know why you fight it. You like the sport. We like the sport to a degree. We follow it. So let's just talk amongst ourselves.
I like the sport as it was. But the point is, it's not what it was anymore. This is a major problem. The game's not played crisply enough. There aren't enough elements to it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't move. Like, there are a lot of things to dislike about it now. I like baseball. I've always liked baseball. I still like the playoffs. I'll put up with the four-hour games in the playoffs. But during the regular season, it's insufferable.
Well, you want to put up with you. Last night, you watched a TV show.
Yeah, same. Like, I watched two innings last night.
I mean, when my team...
Yeah. So this is what baseball's become.
Yeah, right.
We'll watch our team for 4 hours, and I'll still complain about it. It's still ridiculous, but you watch it. If it's another team, last night, 4 hours, 6 minutes, ended at 12-17 in the East, 23 strikeouts, 11 pitching changes.
And the sport's become extremely regional.
Wait, unless that's your team, who can watch that?
No, nobody can. I'm telling you, I can't watch 4 hours during the regular season when it's the Red Sox, let alone anybody else.
No, so, but this fighting, like, it's... Alan, the numbers are way down. The TV ratings are not good. Now, is the sport getting younger? I do think that the whole Twitter, TikTok thing has injected it with some youth. I think that's definitely there. But they're not really watching the games, don't you understand?
Yeah, it's in clip form.
They're on their phone. They're following the games and the sport on their phone with a tweet or a clip, a TikTok video about Framber Valdez loading the baseball, or a highlight of, my guy hit a home run, and mayor of Ding Dong City, and that's how people follow the sport. They're not sitting there watching the game. The numbers don't support the fact that they're sitting watching the game. I'm sorry, if they are, the numbers don't support it. I feel like it's getting traction on young people because it's not a product that you can now engage in watching the game, but on clip form on the internet, apparently it's working.
Yeah, he's hardcore, old school, longtime baseball. He just can't accept the reality of it.
Come to grips, man.
Look, Theo Epstein, for crying out loud, has called out the quality of the game. And so it's not just us.
But there's still plenty of fans. Like, you don't need to bring in new people. There's still plenty of us to watch it and follow it. And when the Red Sox got hot here, it got huge. So be happy with that. Dana in the car on the Celtics and Bradley Beal. You still want him, Dana?
Yeah, but your take about not having a third guy or you don't need it or I don't know. The Draymond Green thing drove me nuts because he was scoring like 30-something points. So I think we need somebody. Like, there's got to be a third guy. Two guys can't do it. That's been proven. I don't understand how you came up with that theory like a glorified Marcus Smart. He's not the third guy because Draymond, in my mind, during that run was way better.
No, but I don't know where he when was Draymond Green scoring 30 points a game?
You got me. He's never averaged more than 14.
Can I give you his per game scoring averages since he came into the league? 2.9, 6.2, 11.7, 14, 10.2, 11.0, 7.4, 8, 7, 9.5. He's a career scorer of 8.8 points per game. What are you talking about? Where'd you get the 30 points from?
Yeah, he's delusional. And so now, look, again, I would tell you when and I'm going to leave someone out probably, but when the Lakers won a couple of years ago, who was the third guy?
When the Lakers, I'm sorry, I was looking at more of his stats. When the Lakers won just now?
Yeah.
Could you say Rondo?
I mean, so the point is it was LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So if your two guys are high enough up there, you can do it with two.
This is the point. This is the point. And I'll tell you again, I don't think the Bucks have a three. I don't think Jrue Holiday is a true three. He's not. He's a glorified Marcus Smart. And their two is pretty shaky, too, let me tell you. So I think no. When the Raptors won, Kawhi, Lowry,
Siakam.
Okay, I mean, that's more of a three, but I don't know. Are those guys, you know, Were they all NBA, all three of them?
No, it's really still about the first two. I would even say the first one. So, look, the Lakers are a little different. They had two top fives. But if Tatum gets to the stage where Tatum's top five and he can make other people better, Brown's enough, and then take your pick from there.
That's sort of what I'm feeling right now. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final segment of your wonderful phone calls and emails. Tom's in Quincy. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I heard the discussion about the viewership of the World Series and Alan's fire he brought today about that. I can honestly say I'm one that's not watching. I don't dabble in many games where the Sox aren't involved. But I will say this much. I leave the Twitter thing open just to relish in the hate of the Astros. I'm not alone in that. And it's fun to watch because I had it open, and I don't even need to watch it to know what's going on. The best thing, not a single positive thing was mentioned about anything to do with Houston the whole time. So all you heard about was, you know, people with Vaseline and all this other stuff on their face, and they weren't doing that, and they weren't doing this. Meanwhile, Morton's pitching with broken legs, and he's striking guys out, and he's getting outs. That's the kind of stuff that Twitter is actually fun for,
Yeah. Because
the hatred of the Astros is like a universal thing besides the people in Delaware. I saw that chat, which is odd.
So I
would say like the overall hatred of the Astros is well-known and deservedly so.
Yeah, I think baseball is a good Twitter sport probably because it's hard to watch the game. So it's like you sort of screw around online while the thing's on, but you're not really watching it. And you're just sort of getting the little clips and blips, and that's sort of what it's become.
I mean, that's how I consumed it last night. That's how I found out about Morton's injury, and then I tuned in, watched a couple innings. I'm like, okay, I'm bored to death. Let's go watch Succession.
I mean, I heard about Morton's injury on Twitter.
People in Delaware like the Astros?
I've seen maps where it's the whole country rooting for the Braves, and then Texas is rooting for the Astros. I don't know if that was a meme, like a joke meme, but I don't know many people that want the Astros to win this thing.
I didn't know the Delaware thing either. I'm not sure Delaware counts for anything.
Most people I know could give two poops is really the answer to that, but we do. And I just think, again, the guy like Framber freaking Valdez, give me a break. With the going to the face, not going to the face. One day he's Nolan Ryan. The next he's some freaking bum that can't get out of the second or third inning. It's like, come on. What am I watching here? Or what is that? Hunter and Haverhill on the Patriots. Go ahead, Hunter. Hunter!
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. So I got a couple of things. First, I want to say thank you for you two frauds not talking about Bill Belichick for once. But, The Celtics do, I think, need Bradley Beal, by the way. I think that they need a third star, and I think that he's the third star that they need. I think they need another ball handler, guy that can score a bunch of points for him.
Okay.
But that's it.
Thank you, Hunter, very much.
Yeah, because that works so well with Kemba.
No, so, like, that's it. If you say third piece, but it's not Bradley Beal, then it's no score. I mean, someone who can bring the ball up, and I don't even think that's overrated. The Bucks don't really have that. Half the time, Giannis just brings it up. Screw it. Half the time, LeBron just brings it up. Screw it. Or Kawhi. Like, that's how the game's played now. It's like, I don't even think you need that. A big guy aside, I think that would really change things. But that's, again, more of a compliment than a legit third piece.
Yeah, I just, with Tatum and Brown, I want guys on the offensive end that move the ball. Okay, and so to me, that's important. And this is why I felt this way about Williams from the time they put him out there. Robert Williams, he's pass first. How many shots a game does Robert Williams take? Six? Like, for his career, it's got to be less than eight. It's got to be five or six shots a game. That's all he gets. It's got to be really, really low.
Once again, a number I have to go to the computer for, because I couldn't possibly give you that number.
No, no, but the point is, if you look at every game, it's, you know, 4 for 6, 5 for 7, 5 for 5. He doesn't take a lot of shots, which is good. I like that. He's a good passer. He doesn't need the ball in his hands all the time. He can impact the game in other ways.
Field goal attempts per game starting in his rookie year, 1-6, 3-0, 5-0, 5-3.
Yes. See, this is what I like about him. And I would say even Schroeder. Now, Schroeder's going to put the ball up more than that. I think he had 14 the other night. But Schroeder feels to me like a pass-first player. He'll take the shot when they leave him open. He'll go to the rim. But it's not like he's pulling up, taking jumpers with guys on him.
So this all goes back to third piece.
Yes.
It's not going to be someone who shoots a lot, which means he's not really a third piece. He's not going to be all-NBA. I mean, how many of those all-NBA guys aren't scorers? I mean, I know guys trickle on there here and there, but for the most part, those guys are scorers, which means they're shooters.
Yeah.
So that's again, so I don't know. The Bradley Beal thing might be over if it was ever really on. Mike and Milton on the Patriots. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just real quick on the World Series. I didn't even know the World Series was on. I used to love baseball. I just found out listening to you guys that it was on. But I'm getting sick of the talk about how, you know, the Jets are ruining their quarterback and everyone's ruining their rookie quarterback. But the Patriots are like, you know, they're putting theirs in a cocoon and taking good care of him and putting him in positions to succeed. No, they aren't. They're putting their quarterback in the worst position out of everyone when it comes to getting hit. And he already looks a little gun shy. It took him until the second half yesterday to really get into the swing of things. And, you know, so I'm just tired of it. Zach Wilson just doesn't make as good of decisions as Mac Jones. He isn't in a better or worse situation. Well, actually, Zach Wilson's probably in a worse
situation. Yeah, I would say that he is, Mike. But yeah, look,
you don't believe that.
The Patriots have created this impression that they're managing him and protecting him. But the fact is, he's getting hit as much as any quarterback in the league. He's still turning the ball over. They didn't this last game, but every other game has an interception or puts a ball on the ground, and they're losing. So I don't know why we think, but we do, that he's being managed and protected.
Well, you know the answer to that. If you think about it, it's Bill. It's Bill's reputation. Everybody just defaults to, well, Bill's doing it the right way because he's Bill and not because of what actually is happening on the field.
Well, it's also how it's looked. It's checkdowns and him throwing sideways. It's not like he's airing it out like some of these other kids.
Right. The high completion percentage maybe leads us to believe he's being managed. But the fact is, to the caller's point, just like every other rookie quarterback, he's getting hit, he's turning the ball over, and he's losing. Maybe not at the rate as some of those other guys.
Yeah, but it just looks better.
It does look. It looks more managed. But all those other things are still happening.
No, and I would say that, you know, if there's been any jump in the coaching part of it, it's been in the last couple of weeks. It's gotten a little bit better. They've protected him a little bit better. The only time I can remember him getting hit this past week was when the left side blew an assignment or they got overloaded over there and someone just jumped right through and jumped on Jones's back and he went down. It was between Karras and Wynn. Okay, so a guy got in clean, but that was about it.
That was. It was the one sack. That's all they had.
So it was a little bit better. He didn't even really get hit all that much. So it was better in this past game, but it was the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets were too busy running around. Someone hit the fire alarm.
I mean, in the Dallas game, he got absolutely killed.
Let's do an email, shall we?
Yeah, who can?
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Yeah, Felga.
Felga, I really hate you.
Tired of talking about Belichick.
And I think Mez is a boob.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email it is protected by Mimecast. That's spelled M-I-M-E. M as in Michael. Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. Doc writes in. Subject line, cheating. Nothing more fraudulent than cheaters screaming cheaters. So Valdez sucked in game one versus Boston and last night both at home. His one great start in Boston. So what is it? Spider tack, trash cans, whistles? All of the above? When your town's team lose, maybe that's what it is. Yet you'll conveniently leave out the master cheater in Houston, your manager. Cry me a freaking river. The Sox gagged by their own ineptitude. The only reason you're all, and then there's an emoji, like grumpy face emoji. I don't even know what that is. Probably the crying emoji, maybe. It's not even. It's like a
pissed off.
Oh, yeah, then it's the angry
The only reason you're all angry emoji is you got out-coached. I'm sorry, out-cheated. Exactly what the team deserved. Congrats. Now you're officially Moneyball. Remind me how many titles Billy Bean has? Again, signed Doc. Angry anti-Red Sox fan, which I will completely embrace. I'm not coming at this from a Red Sox angle.
I'd agree with that, though. They cheated better than the Red Sox did.
Definitely.
That's all.
Oh, yeah. No. Cheating's a big part of success in baseball.
No, I would agree. They cheated better than the Red Sox. But I just think they're blatant about it. All right. Coming up next in the final word, we have a programming announcement. We have a show announcement. We don't do this very often. But we do have something that we want to report to you and talk to you about. So a show announcement, a programming note coming your way right after this in the final word.
Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports takes.
What was your take on the Jack McCormick situation when he pushed down the traveling secretary over the ticket?
And then
he deserved what he got.
There are hot sports takes with Billy Lanning.
McCormick is not a young guy. I mean, what if that was like your father?
My father would have gotten him his tickets.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
By the way, the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
And we play that clip, which happens to be one of the greatest takes in the history of sports talk radio.
We've been on the air 12 and a half years. It still might be a candidate for number one.
So I'm telling you, I'm not joking. When I say that that is one of the greatest takes in the history of sports talk radio, that is not an exaggeration. That is our own Billy Lanning.
My father would have gotten a mistake. That's so great.
We got a longer thing. You'll hear it coming up. And we're playing it because after 12 and a half years, Billy Lanning, our director of communications, our assistant producer, is that the official title? You have an official title?
That sounds right.
The guy that answers the phone, so those of you who call us every day know you get Billy, is leaving us after 12 and a half years. Billy.
Yes.
How you feel about this?
It's a whole bag of emotions.
Got a pet.
It's tough to leave. It's sad to leave. Scary to leave. Excited for something new.
For all of us. It's scary for all of us. So he's been here since day one.
Yeah, Billy's been with us since the very, very beginning.
So but you're a grizzled radio veteran. I mean, you're getting out of radio, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you care saying what you're doing?
Headhunting. Getting into recruiting.
Love it. Hi, this is Billy.
So I think my time of answering phones for you guys will help in the next step of my career.
Yes. You'll be actually on the other end of that, won't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a tough part. As all the calls used to come to me, now I have to make the calls. So it's a little bit of a role reversal.
So Billy,
the way the world works, Billy.
Yep. Billy has been with us since day one. He was, for those you old timers, the old time sports radio listeners here in Boston, he was at the Zone, right?
I was. Yeah, 1510.
Right.
Who did you produce at 1510?
The Diehards, which were Russillo, Pepe, and Anik. A little bit of work with Eddie Andelman. And then just a whole mess of shows that came through those doors. Because everybody and their mother was taking a chance. I worked with Joe Murray. I produced Joe Murray's first sports blast on 1510.
Wow, that's amazing.
So there you go. All that time there. Day one here at the Sports Hub when they flipped from BCN. Day one here with Felger and Maz. I barely remember, you know, the Be Real days are a quite a blur.
Oh, yeah.
What a angry... unhappy blur. Billy was there through that, and after 12 and a half years, now you're leaving us.
Dunzo.
Wow.
Well, I'm hoping not completely dunzo. Hopefully, once I figure out my new situation, I can sneak in here, get some hours on the weekend, maybe do some engineering.
Good. Okay, so Friday's your last day, right?
Friday, yep.
Okay, so the next 2 days will be a celebration of Billy Lanning.
That Manny Ramirez take, man, that was one of the great ones of all time.
One of the great takes in the history of sports radio.
Now we have to find the full tape of it.
Yes, now we have to find the full take. Yeah, it's there. Get Manny Ramirez his tickets.
Simple.
It's the greatest right-handed hitter of all time.
Exactly.
Right? If the greatest.
Exactly. And at the time, it was Houston, and nobody was going to Houston games. So to come up with 16 tickets shouldn't have taken McCormick more than 5 minutes.
It was something like 28. But
either way, Minute Maid was empty at the time.
When the greatest right-handed hitter in the history of baseball asks you for tickets, what do you do?
You get them.
Pretty simple.
And then we asked, what if your father was Jack McCormick and that was the guy getting pushed down?
Yeah, my father wouldn't have been pushed down. My father would have gotten the tickets.
Yeah. It's the greatest take in the history of sports radio.
Oh, it was the best.
Okay, so.
The best.
More of this coming up tomorrow. We'll say goodbye to Billy over the next couple of days. We'll have other stuff to get to. Is Adam Jones standing by somewhere? Is he here? Okay.
Is he on the road again? He's being socially distanced.
Okay, good. I don't want to talk to him either.
Oh, thank God.
Here comes Jones. 90 seconds for an update. Then you get the Dark Knight himself. We're back at it tomorrow at 2. Fellas, we'll see you then.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.